You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon. A busy day. We have a lot of things going on here on KVOI, 1030 The Voice. Good afternoon, Tom. Good to see you for the second day. I get the bonus Tom today.
Tuesday was the bonus day.
Tuesday was
Now we're like, on our regular schedule.
Like getting hitting the lottery, four numbers.
Poor Steve.
Only that you need six to be the winner. Today we're going to talk to the new Sugar Skulls coach. Came as a kind of a surprise. I knew yesterday they made an announcement that something was brewing, and that they named Dixie Wooten the new head coach. He was announced today. Sounded very well today at his press conference in what was kind of a surprise, because Coach Coleman, Marcus Coleman, did a very good job in his first year. He went to probably year-to-year contract, and now they brought in Mr. Dixie Wooten to replace him. Wooten has a pretty good, if not very good, resume in building teams. He built the Iowa Barnstormers very well. He has been there for 3 years, former player in the indoor league. So we'll talk to him about that. And then at 6:30, we have FC Tucson's Etai Tavares. At 6:30, he's born in Guyana. Midfielder. He played at the RSL Casa Grande, Arizona. Graduated from Arizona Western. A lot of the kids do that. They go to Casa Grande and play in the Real Salt Lake League. And I have my son has some friends that did that while in high school. Pretty good players. Either they make it, or guess what? They don't. But a lot of things going on, Tom.
So a number of the FC Tucson players have stuck around, it sounds like.
They have not, or have.
Or have, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. I don't even know their record now. The season's almost near an end. They need to get into the playoffs. We'll talk about that with him. Etai, I think it's Etai. I know it's Tavares or Travadas.
Okay. We'll help me where FC Tucson is, right? I wasn't sure.
You weren't sure where they're at?
Yeah.
They have about a month left in their schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. They were out of the playoffs as we spoke last time with them, but I'll look at their schedule here in a second.
Well, about a month will carry them into Halloween.
A month?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, they get about 2 or 3 weeks left. Okay. I know it's early October. I think that their schedule is complete. It's been a long season. They started like in April, I think it was, or March, early March, in fact, or late March, and now they're August, September. They've lost two straight. In fact, got beat in the last two games 9-0, 0-5, 0-4. They play this weekend against Richmond. Their season ends October 4th.
Getting five goals scored on you in soccer? Five goals or four goals? That's
a lot.
That's not good, is
it? No. I think they're fading. It's tough when you start to fade. They only have four games left. We'll have to see where they are in the standings. So we'll let Mr. Tavares talk to us about that. But excited for all this. Obviously, if you want to call in, please do. 520-790-2040. And talk about a lot of different things. The U of A, it's a pretty quiet week over there, given that the football team is off again this week before they play UCLA next week.
The basketball coaches seem to be out and about recruiting. Seems to be a lot of recruiting going on for the basketball team.
As they should. If you're going to be a top-notch program, guess what you're doing?
You're out recruiting. But even at this time of year, when you're are they allowed to be doing their daily practices?
I think they do, not daily practices, but they're doing some practicing. I think that happens in about 2 weeks. Media day is maybe in the next 2 weeks. Red Blue is, I think, the 27th, so it's almost a week away.
So we can assume that basically the team is in town. Everybody's in town.
They're in school, and
the coaches still seem to find time to get out there in the recruiting trail.
Every coach in the country is doing that, Tom. This is not exclusive to Arizona.
No, I know that.
But this is the time to be chasing the future. The future, the
but
future.
But they're not only going out and seeing them, they're planning for some of them to be coming here and checking out the campus. What are we going to do, Tom? Cover the place with tents?
Yeah, you must be catching the Steve disease.
I don't know. Mispronouncing
words and mumbling and stumbling your words.
Well, I've been doing that for years.
Oh, yeah. You, by the way, you do a great job on the news segment. There's an accident here on this place. There's an accident here on this place.
Well,
the weather today is hot.
I've been asked to let people know what's going on as far as I can figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how long have you been doing that?
What, news and stuff?
The news and stuff, yes.
Oh, man.
Walter Cronkite.
You don't want to know. It's been, when I got into the radio biz, got into radio in the 60s.
Did you?
So.
Wow, when it first started.
Yeah, right. Back when we had tube radios and stuff like that, we didn't even know what television was.
No, really? You know, back in the day, I used to be the remote control for my family.
Yes.
You know, Dad,
yes,
Steve.
This is back, yeah, I was back in the days before they knew what remote controls were
right,
all
right.
About.
Steve could change the channel. There's only three channels back then. CBS, NBC,
right.
And ABC.
Yeah, good for you. Okay.
Yeah, gave me my exercise. Dad, do I have to get up again? We'll see. So anybody want to call in, please do. 790-2040. I know some people are watching. I think we're going to try to give away some soccer tickets too this weekend for this weekend's game.
Oh, they're going to be in town. Okay.
Yeah. Saturday.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Well, there's that tropical storm or remnants of Lorena heading our way out of Mexico, but they're not expecting any impact from that, I don't think, until late Sunday sometime.
Oh, really? I haven't even heard that.
Yeah.
I've been indoors all this time. I missed that channel.
When would the soccer team?
Saturday night.
That would be Saturday. Okay.
Saturday
they
night.
Should be good. They should be okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Anything else going on? You talked about the women's soccer team for U of A doing really well. I think they're 5-1. They lost their first game or match over the weekend, gave up a couple of goals, and now they return to winning right after that on Sunday. I think they play this weekend. And then volleyball has I think they're hosting an event at McHale. Probably the Wildcat Classic. And that happens this weekend.
Is the girls' soccer team ranked nationally?
I do not know. We can check.
You would think with their schedule and the fact that they've only lost one game that somebody would be looking at them.
In the top 25? I don't know. You might have to Google it. Might have to Google it.
All right.
I think we're going to go to break here so they can call us at 6:15 exactly. I know that's what Jay Gonzalez usually does. So let's take a couple of minute break, and then we'll come back here at 6:15 on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and now on the phone we have the Sugar Skulls' new coach, Dixie Wooten. How are you, coach?
I'm good. See, how about yourself?
Fine, thank you. Hey, welcome to Tucson. Great to know that you are the new Sugar Skulls coach. A lot of success you've had in the past coming in. Probably more self-imposed pressure than anywhere else.
You know, it's always pressure everywhere you go, Steve. So, you know, just coming here, though, it's you know, the environment is amazing. You know, just being here 2 days, understanding what the organization has put in place for a coach to be successful is unreal, man. This is one of the premier teams in the IFL, and that's why I made a jump from Iowa to Tucson.
Right, right. What did you see in them when you played against them?
You know, I saw when I first walked into when we first got there that night, you know, just the hotel we were staying in, you know, it was, you know, you can tell the organization put a lot of work in making sure the visiting teams are taken care of. You know, that's always a plus when you go on the road and see teams. And then when we got to the arena, you know, the brand new turf, you know, the arena, you know, with the seats and the arena looked pretty good. And then when those guys came out and played the different uniforms, and then the way the guys came out and competed, they was bigger, they was stronger, they was faster because they have everything in place to be successful. And those guys came out and competed with a championship team. So I knew from right then and there that this organization was top of the line. And I knew there was going to be trouble. You know, if I would have stayed in Iowa, it would have been trouble playing against these guys. So when this opportunity came up, it was a no-brainer to come here.
Do you liken your situation now coming in new to the opportunity you had in Iowa in 2016 when you first took over? Because you turned that baby around real quick.
Yeah, I think I have more right now than I had in 2016 in Iowa. That's what makes this job so impressive. So, you know, just coming in with everything in place, you know, and also, you know, with Kathy and Kevin making me the general manager, it gives me an understanding of I can run football operation and make it fit for me as I wanted to go. So it makes it fit and it makes me have no excuse not to win.
Right. And having been in the league for the last few years, you probably know exactly where the talent is. Are people, and I don't know if you can talk to this because I don't know what tampering means at this level, but can you kind of already know where talent is and maybe you can search out or reach out?
Yeah, it's so much talent around the United States, dude. It's so many guys then coming out of college that didn't get that NFL shot that need that extra film to come in as rookies. But it's also guys that's in the lead already, you know, that might not want to go back to the team they wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. You know, they was playing on last year. So I'm gonna reach out. I'm not gonna leave no stone unturned. You know, I'm gonna reach out because my job now here is to make this team a championship team right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Former quarterback.
Yeah, I am.
How does that help, how does that help be a coach? Because you got to be when you're a quarterback, you're a coach on the field, and maybe that success translates.
It does. You know, one thing about it is in this league, your quarterback got to be successful for you to win anything. And you know, by me already seeing being able to see know all the coverages that a defense can throw at you, all the fronts that a defense can throw at you, you know, now I can relate that message to my quarterback, and he can relate that message to the other guys. So now when my quarterback step on the field, you know, they understand how people are going to attack them through my knowledge of the game. So it's almost like, you know, I'm taking my brain and putting in my quarterback's brain. So that's why I was able in Iowa to have back-to-back MVPs from a quarterback.
Right. No, which is a good thing for the incoming quarterback, whoever starts for you. I know you've been here before. Obviously, you brought your team here. But before bringing your team to Tucson, had you been here before?
No, this is my first time, like, being here. Like, I've never been here other than playing football here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts in your 48 hours?
Man, I think it's a great city. Like, my thing is, you know, being from Houston, Texas, you know, when you walk outside 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, it's 89 degrees and humid, and you're sweating already. You know, walking out in Tucson, you know, you got the heat, but, you know, it's a dry heat, so the humidity not there. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm a scenery guy. So when I walk out and see mountains all over around the city, I think that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, my thing is now I got to get to know the people that's in Tucson, the restaurants, the just the sponsors, just all around the community, you know, because by season start, I want to be a guy that they can understand that's a part of this community.
Yeah, no question. In fact, that's what I took away from your press conference today when I saw it. You plan on being very visible in this town and have some of your players, if not all your players, out in the community reaching out.
Yes, most definitely, because that's what it's about. You know, Steve, when you have a team like in IFL, like the Sugar Skulls, you know, we don't run. You know, we're not the million-dollar brand, the billion-dollar brand company. So we're only here because our fans and our community allow us to be here. You know, we have ownership, but at the end of the day, the community is our ownership. You know, because if they don't show up to the games, if they don't buy the things that you know, like the hats, the shirts, and they don't show us, you know, the appreciation that we need to show them back, then we don't have a team. And then now I gotta explain to my family, you know, why I don't have a job. So at the end of the day, the community, you know, it's gonna push me to be a great coach, and also it's gonna help me provide for my family.
Right.
So that's why this community is gonna be super important to me, because also the youth as well, because at the end of the day, you know, I have kids. And, you know, when we reach out to the youth in Tucson and we show them some things that, you know, along the way where we made mistakes as kids, and we teach them you know, the ropes about, you know, when you have a decision to make, you know, make sure you think about it. And then we change a few lives. We change the community. And that's what it's all about to me.
Right, right. In fact, does one of your kids play at the University of Houston?
Yeah, my son, my son Dixie Wooten III. He's the he played offensive line for the University of Houston.
Not a bad school to go play football at.
Right, right. They getting it together. You know, with Dana Hogerson there now, they coming up. They coming on strong.
Right, right. So when do you plan to start making your roots or Tucson your roots? Right away, or do you have to kind of settle in first?
You know, I got to settle in first. So what I'm gonna do is by like December. This when I'm gonna make Tucson home when I come back in December. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go back in Houston. You know, I got to take care of things there. You know, also go back and recruit, and then I come here, and then that's when you're gonna see me, you know, in the community every chance I get.
Right, right. Let me ask you. I know it's only been 48 hours, but you probably, when Miss Guy started reaching out, you probably looked at the roster just to kind of see what you had and in the community and on the roster. Did you do that? And what do you see if you did?
Yeah, I did that from I'm a coach in the IFL, but I'm also a fan. So, you know, I always look at these guys, I look at other teams' rosters, you know, because I want to, when I walk into an arena, you know, if you have a quarterback having a great year, I want to make sure I know everything about him, shake his hand. So when I look at the Tucson roster, it's a great roster. You know, at their offensive line, they had one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, it was physical, they was athletic, and you know, they played the game right. You know, the few receivers they had, and you know, Metz is a local guy. And I think he was out of position. So, you know, that's the first, probably one of the first guys I'm going to call, you know, and talk to him about, you know, just getting ready to play linebacker. And, you know, the guy that I want to make sure he's back is Mike Jones. You know, Mike Jones was the best running back in this game. And I think that, you know, if we have him back, he'll put us on that championship line real quick.
Do you have to do some of the recruiting?
I do all of it. And then I get my assistant coaches to help in the process. But, you know, being the general manager, now I'm over all that.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I got to make sure that, you know, me and my coaching staff go over the guys that we recruit and make sure they're great guys to bring in the community and also great football players.
So let me ask you, I think, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Coach Coleman played for you, was an assistant with you at Iowa, correct?
Yeah.
What's that, Steve? Have you talked to him since taking this job?
No, I haven't. You know, Marcus right now, he's on a college. He's in coaching at Trinity before college in Texas. So he's really, really busy right now. And he's, you know, Marcus, one thing about him, you know, he's always striving to be, you know, right. Get back, you know, to his roots, the NFL. So, you know, he's going the college route now. And I think probably about a year or two, we'll hear his name coaching in the NFL as a position coach working his way up.
Right. It's funny that Tucson, the pipeline is coming through Iowa.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when I took over Iowa in 2016, it was all about guys, you know, getting to the next level or taking better jobs. Because at the end of the day, you know, when you in the IFL, it's all about, you know, getting better. And one thing that Tucson did last year is they got a great coaching staff, you know, and those guys came from Iowa and they knew the ropes and things like that, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, in the first year with a first year organization, when you have a chance to, you know, get a coach that with a championship pedigree, I think that was more of the change. Other than the other coaches did a bad job because they didn't do a bad job, they did a great job. You know, when you take a team, you know, for first year ever to the playoffs, that's something that's never been done.
Right. No,
but I think, you know, when you
go ahead,
I'm listening.
No, and then you did the same thing in the first year. I think you won 11 straight games at some point.
Right. Yeah. We was 2-2. In the first four games, and then we won like 11 straight.
That's not an easy task. Let me ask you something, because I ask everybody kind of this. You're a two-time indoor football coach of the year. You winner of the 2018 IFL championship. Are there any, I know this is kind of a dumb question, but any secrets to success in this league?
No, it's hard work, Steve. Like, you gotta put in the work. Like, it's some great coaches in this league. You know, of course, you got Kevin Guy in Arizona. You got Kevin. I mean, you got Curtis Riggs and Sioux Falls. You know, those guys have great programs, so you got to put in work every day, and you got to make sure that your guys buy in day one. And that's the thing. Like, when you get your guys to buy in day one, it's easy to coach them because they understand that you're trying to win a championship and they want to be a part of it. So as long as your guys buy in, you have a chance to win and be the last man standing.
Yeah, and maybe what's your secret as a coach? I only have like maybe 90, not even about a minute. So give me about 30 seconds of your secret to being a good coach, because players love coaching or playing for good coaches.
Yeah, well, my thing is by me, that I'm a disciplinarian. So I make sure that I bring discipline, but I'm also a fair coach. You know, if you work your tail off and if you come ready to play, you know, you're the guy that's going to play. You know, I don't believe in, you know, showing favors unless you earn that. But at the end of the day, I'm all about being right with my guys, understanding what we got to do on the field, and also working hard in the classroom.
Great, great. Well, Coach Wooten, I appreciate your time. We'll see you soon. We usually have a coaches show here on the show, so look forward to talking to you on a weekly basis.
Gotcha. Most definitely. I appreciate you having me on, and I can't wait to be on there every week with you.
Great. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Welcome to Tucson.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. Take care. Yes, that was Coach Wooten here on 1030 The Voice. We'll take a quick break here. Come back on the other side. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And now on the phone we have FC Tucson midfielder Etty Tavares. How are you, Etty?
Hello. How's it going?
Fine. Thank you. Hey, welcome to the show. How are you doing with FC Tucson? You guys got to get back on rolling here. You got to get back on the field and get going.
Yeah. We dropped two big games the past two games we played, but we've been preparing really hard for the next one, so should be a good one.
Let me ask you, because I do not know and I could not see, how do you still have a shot at the playoffs if you reel off some wins here?
Yeah, it's very slim. We're in the seventh right now, but the point differential between the seventh place and the fourth place is really close. And if we can win these next couple games, and with the help of a few teams, and we could definitely do it. So that's what we're working on right now.
Have you been here all season?
If I've been here all season, yes.
And how has it been? Because it's, you know, it's still early in the franchise history, and you guys are still kind of finding your way. And, you know, here we are almost at the end of it, but it's always still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah. I think our coach have done a great job of, of keeping us all together for, you know, first year of our franchise as a League One professional team, and just been learning and trying to get better day by day.
Mm-hmm. I saw that you played with Real Salt Lake in Casa Grande. We're at Arizona Western. Did you live in Arizona before that?
Yeah, so I was at the Real Salt Lake Academy, and their facility was down in Casa Grande, Arizona. I don't know if you know where that's
at. Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. No, in fact,
yeah.
You must be, what, how old are you?
Yeah, right now I'm 25.
25, yeah. So my son was fairly decent at his position, but he has some few former teammates that went up to Casa Grande and played maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, I was there for 2 years. I did my junior and senior year there. Then after that, I went over to Arizona Western College. I did 2 years there as well. After I grabbed my associate, I went on a trial for Real Monarchs, which is the second team to Real Salt Lake over there in Utah. And after that, after the trial, I ended up making the Real Monarchs team and played there for 2 years. After 2 years, I left to Oklahoma to play for the Roughnecks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard of them,
yes.
Which is another championship team. And now I'm back here.
So where were you when the Real Salt Lake team found you as a junior and senior in high school? Where were you at?
I was in Santa Rosa. So I was born in West Africa, Guinea-Bissau.
Okay.
And I came to the United States 2004, and in July. I don't remember the exact dates, but I moved down to Santa Rosa, California. That's where I was going to school. I was actually going to school in Windsor, but I was living in Santa Rosa. after I grabbed my high school diploma there, and I came out here to play for Ralph Salt Lake Academy.
You must be, you speak well, obviously. You must be a bright guy. I understand you speak a number of different languages.
Yeah, I can speak four different languages.
Yeah, which are they?
Creole, Portuguese, Spanish, and English.
Okay. And Portuguese and Spanish, isn't that different? Isn't that much of a difference?
It's kind of similar, actually, because when I first got to the States, I actually started learning Spanish first because the language of my country is Creole, and that's kind of our home language mixed with Portuguese a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in school, it's mandatory that we speak Portuguese, but back at home, we speak Creole. So I picked up Portuguese really early, and once I got to the States, I started speaking Spanish first because it was a little more similar to Portuguese. Then I started to pick up English.
How fluent are you in the Spanish language?
Pretty fluent. I ended up taking a few other classes and just to, because I started speaking Spanish, but it was in classroom Spanish.
Yeah.
And so one day, just talking to my parents and stuff like that, and they told me just take class so you can, you know, get a bit, you know, get a little better and become more fluent in it.
Yeah.
So I speak it pretty well. I hold my own.
In fact, if you're learning book Spanish, you're going to the biblioteca a lot.
Exactly.
Which, of course, you need more words than the biblioteca.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's always a great talent or extracurricular to have, because you never know when you'll use it, one, especially in this community. But let me ask you, when you grow up and you get out of soccer, and now we're kind of getting away from it, but what do you want to do?
When I grow up, when I get out of soccer?
Yeah.
Man, it's hard to stay away. I can see myself. Right now I hold an associate in business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to chip at it little by little, but I think, you know, I'll probably get into coaching. I really love the game, and I love helping out the youth and just to share my knowledge that I've learned throughout all my years playing and helping out the youth. Like, I've been helped. I think that would be something I'm interested in doing after.
Yeah, this is a dumb question, but you must have started playing soccer when you were about 5-6 years old?
Oh, yes. Like, around there, around 4 or 5-ish. Basically, growing up in Guinea-Bissau, soccer was our only form of recreation. If you get out of school, you're playing soccer. We play it to pass time. Sometimes I'll even sneak out of my parents' house just to go play and then come back and get disciplined, but do it all over again because I love it so much.
Are they still out there? Or are they still around?
Yeah, well, my mom is here with my little brother and my sister. My uncles and aunts who helped raise me are always are home. I talk to them here and there just to, you know, stay in touch with the family and stuff like that.
Back in your homeland?
Yeah, back in Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah, so let me ask you, how often do you get to go back there?
I haven't been back since I've been here.
Oh, really?
It's been because usually, you know, I have my breaks are in the winter, and it's just difficult time for me to try and get out there with everybody. I think my mom and little brother want to go together. So
yes.
It's tough to merge in all of our schedule together.
Right. Well, the reason I was going to ask you is because you're 24, 25. You can go back home and be, I don't know if you would be considered a kind of like a sports hero, but, you know, your return would be nice.
Yeah, it's still a goal of mine to try and represent our national team. We've been in talks. We came close a few times, but, you know, nothing happened yet. But we're on it, and it will actually be a huge honor to go represent us one day.
When do you think something could break with that, if that's being tried?
Not really sure. It's in the work as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really predict these things because the pool is so big. They can go
right.
Any direction they want, so I'm just hoping my number get called one day.
Sure. But guys like you, fairly young age still in this sport, get to live their dream. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I mean, just waking up knowing that I'm going to kick a soccer ball and getting paid, that's that's amazing to me still.
Mm-hmm.
I really do feel like I'm living a dream, yes.
Yeah, so obviously the next goal is to become better, one, and two, move up.
Yeah, yeah, the goal is always to keep progressing, to keep moving up, to play at the highest level possible. And that's still the mentality, and that's still the goal. But, you know, we have a job to do here at FC Tucson, so, you know, that's where we're at.
What do you think, after given the last couple of games, what's the team lacking? Is it just getting tired now as we end the season here with the last four games? Any reason, rhyme or reason?
Pretty strange. I felt that we're, you know, very well prepared going into last few games, and just things just started happening. Sometimes soccer is like that. You can be as prepared as you want, and awkward things happen, and momentum shift, and things like that. It could be because we're tired, but then again, I'm not really sure, to be honest, but I think we'll be all right coming up this weekend.
Yeah, in fact, you have your last four games all at home. That stretch you had on the road was just a brutal one, and now you get to benefit from it, but, you know, now the circumstances are a little different.
Yeah, exactly. Besides the 5-0 loss here, we've usually been pretty solid at
mm-hmm,
home.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited to go on this little stretch at home. We're going to need all of our fans, all of our supporters to come out. We're excited, and our backs are against the wall, and we're looking forward to respond.
Yeah, and a more personal note, because you're not really from here, I'm sure you like Tucson to some degree. Do most of you guys just take off when the season's not going on, or what do you plan on doing?
Yeah, everybody has their different plans. Some people travel. Some people go right back into basically like a mini preseason right away. I just go back to California to my mom's place, rest a bit, and get ready again for the next season.
Right, right. Well, good luck this weekend and beyond, Mr. Eti Tavares. Good luck to you.
Thank you. We play at 7:30 p.m. against Richmond Kickers.
Yes.
Tuno Sports Complex. Please come on and support us.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm going to try to give away a couple tickets for the game on Saturday. Appreciate it. We'll hope to go see you.
Thank you so much. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, bye.
Yes, that was Eti Tavares of the FC Tucson midfielder. See what goes on with this team. They have four games left. They could still have an outside chance of making the playoffs. In fact, if you want to go to the game on Saturday, give me a call. The first caller will get a couple tickets, and we can give them away there. And I'll just send them to you via email. Two tickets to the FC Tucson soccer match on Saturday night. 7:30. Let's take a quick break here, Tom, before we fall asleep, and come back for our final 3 minutes here, or 13 minutes, I'm sorry. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome back. We got about 10 minutes left before the end of the show. If you'd like to call in, please do. 790-2040. Yesterday we had a number of good calls, and we have tickets available to the Roadrunners. If you'd like to call in and get those, that's cool. We'll just send them to you via email so you can go see them play.
Tickets for the Roadrunners already?
What did I say?
Yeah, you said Roadrunners.
Oh, FC Tucson.
That's what I thought. Okay, so that's Saturday's game.
Yes.
7:30.
At Keno.
The Keno complex,
yes.
Sports complex.
Mm-hmm. They need to win a few of those four games to have a chance to get into the playoffs. I said Roadrunners, didn't I? There's so many things going on in my mind. Roadrunners start here pretty soon, about 3 weeks already. October-ish, they start their practices and get ready.
When will they put the ice down?
Soon after. I think October 4th or October 6th is the date that I remember the most that they'll start coming.
Now, the convention
back.
Center is the only place that they can practice. That's the only place where they can have indoor ice at all. I mean, there's no outdoor ice in Tucson, let's face it.
No, that's the place.
Unless you go up to Summerhaven.
That's the place. You weren't with me, I don't think you're my producer, when the Adult Hockey League guys came in. It was pretty popular, and they were talking about all that and how much it costs to get on that ice and how popular hockey is in Tucson. I was amazed at how popular it is.
Yeah, wasn't there some talk about Getting an arena where they would be able to have artificial ice and an indoor arena somewhere on the east side of town
Maybe. Well, they had that place on the east side, far east side. What is it, like Speedway and Skate? I don't know what it was called, but it was not too long ago. They had that skate place or hockey place, and no, it's no longer. It's costly. You want to put our nickels together?
So what were they doing, inline skating out there?
No, they had ice.
They had ice?
Yeah, back in the day. I mean, I can't remember how many years ago.
Yeah.
10,
I
12.
Guess that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. No, it'd be good. I mean, Tucson's big enough. I'm not sure if it's wealthy enough, but it's big enough.
But then the Roadrunners would have a place where they could practice no matter what was happening at TCC.
Right. No, but they own that schedule. They pretty much run that place because of the schedule. And to outside of the gem show, where they have to take off for 3 weeks and get that brutal. It's a brutal 3 weeks because that's what did them in last season when they're moving right along and in the playoff hunt. They took that 3 weeks off in terms of being on the road, and then they came back behind.
They don't bring anything like monster trucks or anything like that to TCC,
I think they do. I think they do.
So that means they've got to get rid of the ice and bring in a bunch of dirt.
Sugar Skulls, yeah, they play all that stuff. That's a multi-purpose facility, senor.
See?
Yes.
But they could have the ice, and they could put artificial turf over the ice. You know, they do that in places.
They do that, yeah, sure. It's a little...
They have these big panels that they put down.
Over, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Did you ever go see... Have you seen the Roadrunners play at all?
No, I haven't.
I need to get out there, too. And then FC Tucson, I saw them this year at the 4th of July. Obviously, I saw the Sugar Skulls a time or two. A lot of things going on here in town with these type of sports. All minor league, of course, but still good for the city. We'll see what Coach Wooten does, in fact, when he comes up with the season starting in March. It's just around the corner, 6 months away?
Expecting big things with the Sugar Skulls?
Well, that's why they went and got him, yeah. Because he turns around programs right away.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. It's not odd that Coleman and him coached together back at Iowa, and they went to Iowa to get a good coach to try to, you know, not turn this program around. It's only had his first year, had a pretty good first year. I'm going to miss Mr. Coleman. I'm going to see if I get him on the show at some point, because in our show was, I thought we had a good, fun time together on the show.
So he's going to be in Texas at Trinity College. Now, where is he from? Do you know?
Coach Coleman. He's from Texas Tech. He went to Texas Tech.
Okay, so he's kind of going back to home turf.
Yeah. He's been there for a while. Okay. Well, he was always at Trinity. I guess if I Google it, I could find out where that's at. It's a smaller school, obviously. But Wooten was talking about he would probably be coaching in the NFL soon at some point. It seems like that could be true. He had that temperament.
Trinity College. I wonder if that's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
No, I just Googled it. Give you a second guess.
San Antonio?
Good guess. Yeah, two tries, but yeah. Yeah, I love San Antonio.
Yeah, I figured if it's going to be in the eastern part of the state somewhere, if it's not over up in the north.
It's in the south.
Part, then it would have to be down there.
Right. You got four options. Austin, Dallas, Houston, or San Antonio. Yes. I was going to ask you, this off the air, because you were going to go on vacation to a place I really like, but I don't think you're going. Or didn't go, right?
I haven't gone yet, and it just depends on what my daughter is going to do, and I'm at her mercy.
Yes, most parents are at their kids' mercy. I'm finding that out with mine.
So, but she's got other things that she's involved with in her life, and, you know, she's working on it.
I get it. So we have tickets if you want to call in. To the, don't get me wrong, FC Tucson.
FC Tucson taking on Richmond.
Yeah, if we don't get rid of them now, we'll get rid of them tomorrow.
Okay.
And I mean that in a nice sense for the rest of the season, because there are only four more games left. Tomorrow, I hope to have some pretty good guests. In fact, the The Pima County Sports Hall of Fame group was named today in a press conference this afternoon. Maybe I can get some of those guys to come on the phone.
What are these, nominees?
Yeah, no, these are guys who actually won, who have been named to the Hall of Fame.
And this is just for like
Pima County.
Tucson or Pima County?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Familiar names, at least familiar to me, part of the group.
And they represent different sports, I'm imagining.
Yeah, as an administrator or a player or a coach or, you know, influencer in that sport. So I'm hoping to maybe talk to Pat Darcy and see if I can get a couple of guys on the show here in the next, in the next day. I know I have some people coming in on Friday, talking about cycling and things like that. So busy week, good week. No callers today. We had a few good callers yesterday. John didn't call in today. And what was my other guy? Poncho always calls in.
Scott.
Right. I haven't heard from Scott in a while.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And that's okay. He has nothing to complain about. Well, that's great.
Scott, you're going to have to call in and defend yourself.
No, he knows.
As you're being labeled a complainer.
No. He's a realistic complainer. I don't mind realistic complainers, and he is one of those guys.
So he has something to complain about then.
Yes.
when he does call.
Yes,
in.
In his mind, yes.
We're clarifying, characterizing things here.
He's a smart guy. I met him, in fact, at one of KBOI's big events. Good guy, young guy, smart guy.
All right, so you hinted that
I did.
Things are going to be interesting tomorrow, but you didn't go into any specifics.
Because I don't know. I'm hoping to get those guys from the Hall of Fame. Maybe
that
two
would be
or three.
That would be terrific.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
So, you know, just kind of if they were surprised when they were named, what they did in their background, things like that. I think I'll get two or three of them. This first hour is the 1 hour show that I have. Goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
It just does. I would have appreciated it the 1 hour in the summer and then kind of move me back to 2 hours now because there's so much to talk about.
In the colder months.
Yeah, because there's, you know, UA, men's and women's
basketball. Yeah, so men's and women's.
So I can get the guests to come on. Yeah, but I'll
Are the women practicing yet? The women's basketball team?
They're doing the same thing the men are. They're
doing, on the same schedule?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So they'll go full-fledged here in a couple weeks. Right now, I think they're just doing light work and getting ready for what could be a very good season, Adia Barnes and them. In fact, I have a big story on Adia Barnes in the next issue of Biz Tucson, which should be out at any moment, probably this week or next. So we'll see.
Well, when are we going to hear that from you on the show?
When I see it.
Oh.
I'll be proud of it when I see it, if it's worthy enough to be proud of. Okay, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Tom, here on Wednesday.
All right, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.